We have been, for the last few weeks, looking in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus about who we are in Christ. Because what we've said the last few weeks is that we live out of our identity. We don't try to do things so that we become something. In Christ, we receive a new identity that comes by faith. And we've talked about some awesome things about this new identity over these last few weeks. We've said that we are forgiven, that we are redeemed, that we are holy, that we're his treasured possession, that we're a royal priesthood, that we're seated with him in the heavenly places, that we are a new creation. And over these last weeks, I've been saying, this is what's true. When you repent and you turn and you place your love and your loyalty in Christ, and you, in that moment, you become a new creation. And we believe that because we believe God. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. We don't have to see it. We just trust him. But there's a natural objection that most of us feel if we don't voice. There's a natural objection to truly believing and living out of that new identity. And that natural objection that we have to this is that we look at our lives. We say, okay, Jeff, I hear you. But then we look at our lives and we go, man, if this were true about me, then I would not be falling prey to the same temptations. I would be praying continuously and joyfully. I would be obeying God in every area of my life, and I'd be laughing at Satan and all of his temptations, and I would have peace and contentment and joy, and I'd be doing all these things. But I'm not. And we struggle with that discrepancy. And in fact, man, a lot of things that we read, things I've said, I said in week one that dogs bark, monkeys climb trees, and fish swim. You know, and you could take that to say, hey, you can look at what someone is doing, and by looking at what they're doing, you can then determine their identity, which is often what we do with our own lives. When Jesus was speaking to his disciples in Matthew about false prophets coming in, listen to what Jesus said to them. Chapter 7 of Matthew, beginning of verse 15. He said, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." Well, it seems like what Jesus is saying is that you look at somebody, and he's calling the fruit is the behavior of their lives, what they're doing. It seems that if Jesus is saying, hey, you can look at what someone is doing, what fruit there is, and then you can determine what they are based on that fruit. And so how do we deal with a discrepancy that we all honestly feel between who God says that I am and what I actually experience in life? And for many of us, that makes it difficult for us to say, God, I believe what you say about me. I accept it. We struggle with that discrepancy. So let me this morning give you two pictures that might help. On the left side, we have a particularly good-looking young child, obviously smarter than most kids his own age. And on the right side, we have a picture of Superman there. So when you come into relationship with Jesus in the moment that you repent, which means to turn, and you give your love, loyalty, and trust to Jesus, do you begin on the left or do you begin on the right? Because if you begin like Superman, then when you begin the Christian life, you are trampling sin. You are leaping over tall buildings. So you laugh at Satan. You have great strength and power and capability, and you know how to use that strength and power and capability. You know what is right and you know what is wrong. You are wise and you are making good decisions in every decision that you make, and you are choosing the good over the bad every time that you do it. And if you begin your Christian life on the right, all you need is an opportunity to demonstrate this power and capability that you now have in Christ. And if you begin there on the right, every time you fail, every time you fall, every time you backslide, there's a voice that says, maybe I'm not what he says that I am. Because I did this, and if I'm that, I wouldn't do that. Now, if instead of beginning on the right, what if when we begin the Christian life, we begin with the picture there on your left. Is this child fully human? I hope you say yes. For those of you who don't know, this is my grandson, Cohen, up here in the picture. So be careful what you say, all right? Yes, because he can't feed himself or drive a car, is he somehow less than human? Is he pretending to be human until he's potty trained? No. He's already fully human, isn't he? And so he's got a lot of growing to do, but he's already fully human. He's fully alive. He's fully part of the family, but he is not fully grown. He is not mature at this moment. And for that to happen, for him to grow into maturity, what's going to have to happen? He's going to have to be in a family, for one. And he's going to have to learn. He's going to have to learn that he can't eat the dog food. He learned that yesterday, all right? He learned he doesn't like that. He's going to have to learn what to put in his mouth and what not to put in his mouth. And somebody's going to have to teach him that. Somebody's going to have to change his diaper. For him to grow and mature, he is going to stumble and he is going to fall. And that's the process of learning and growing and becoming fully the person that he already is. All those, it's going to have to happen. And he's fully human, but he's going to have to grow and mature so he becomes the full capability of what God has created him to be. Now, which picture you have in mind up there makes a big difference. And listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 3. Jesus was talking to a guy named Nicodemus. And he says this, beginning verse 3. Jesus replied to Nicodemus, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." All right, Jesus was talking to a Pharisee. And the Pharisees were the spiritual superheroes of the Jewish faith, all right? We tend to think of them negatively, but these were the people actually living out the teachings of the law. They were actually trying to be who it was that God had called them. They weren't compromising with the Romans or others. They were the spiritual superheroes of their day. And Jesus says to this spiritual superhero, "You want to follow me? What does he have to do? He's got to be born again." Nicodemus, the Pharisee, has to be born again. Nobody starts at maturity. Nobody starts at maturity. Everybody starts at a born-again state. And to deny your born-again state, to deny your immaturity, is to condemn yourself to perpetual immaturity. To deny the fact that I begin in a place where I don't know, I don't get it, I don't understand, I don't know how to live, I don't know what's true, I don't know what's right, I don't know what's wrong, I don't know what I'm doing, I need help, I need mentoring, I need teaching. To begin someplace other than that is to remain forever immature, because what Jesus wants from us is that we surrender every facet of our lives to him to be recreated and reshaped so that we might become new kinds of humans who resemble Christ rather than the humanity that our world is so familiar with. Everything gets surrendered to him. We all begin again. Every single one of us, we begin again. Nobody gets to skip that process. Skipping that process keeps us immature. So let's just think about that in practical ways for a moment. Let's think about some easy topics for a moment, like the death penalty. All right? What do you think about the death penalty? Now the truth is, I'm going to guess that for most of you, before you came to know Jesus, before you studied under Jesus, before you were mentored by Jesus' followers in the church, you probably had an idea about what the death penalty was and whether you liked it or didn't like it. And then you followed Jesus and you come to know Jesus. How has that move changed or grown in the midst of that? Has it been recreated and retransformed by Jesus? What do you do with your money? What do you do with money? Well, what is good and right to do with your money? The truth is, before you came to Jesus, you had all kinds of ideas about money and what you ought to do with your money. And then you came to Jesus and you said, "Jesus, I have no idea what to do with my money," right? Didn't we all do that? You say, I don't know what's good. I don't know what's bad. I don't know what to buy, what not to buy. I'm now your disciple. I'm learning. I'm starting over again. I have no idea how to function here. What do you believe about socialism, communism, and capitalism? Just some light topics this morning. I hear it's in the news, okay? And the truth is that all of us have some ideas about those things that come to us immediately. And then we come to Jesus and we say, Jesus, do you have anything to say about all these kind of topical debates that are going on? Because I know what I believed. I know what I was formed. I know I'm shaped. And yet I'm bringing all this to you. And it being that I don't know anything at all. And I'm simply trying to trust you, Jesus. Should you fly the American flag above the Christian flag? And what duty does a Christian have to the nation in which he lives? When should you bear arms? When should you, as a follower of Jesus, pack heat? I know we all, right? I just assume you all are, so. But didn't you have some beliefs about those things before you came to Jesus? And don't you remember that moment when you took all those beliefs that you had about all those things and you surrendered them to Jesus? And you said, but Jesus, I don't know. I know what I think, and I know my ways, and I know my thoughts. But I don't know yours. And so teach me. Teach me. Skipping the born again process condemns us to perpetual immaturity. And so we all have to recognize that we all have to become mature in these things. And that to do that, I've got to put myself under teachers. I've got to put myself under mentors. I've got to put myself under the scriptures. I've got to be bringing all of my life to God in prayer and sitting still with him and listening to what we have to say. And I have to live my life in an open and transparent ways so that people around me can correct me, can help me, can carry me when I fall. That's what it means to be born again. And we all have to be born again. We all begin there. And not only do we begin there, but the truth is, as you walk with Jesus, don't you find yourself at a born-again place on a regular basis? Don't you find yourself in a place where you're like, I used to think this, but now I've come to know Jesus better, and I've been having this conversation, and I no longer think the way I used to think. What have you changed your mind about in the last 2 years because you've been walking with Jesus and you've gotten to know him better? And if you say, man, I believe the same things I believed, you know, for my whole life, I hadn't changed my mind about anything in the last 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years, I'm going, Are you talking to him? Because in my life, I'm just perpetually coming to know him better. And parts of my life has been recreated and transformed by him. We cannot skip this. And there's nothing wrong with claiming some immaturity and some born-again status. In fact, skipping that phase is what keeps us immature and increases the discrepancy between what he says that we are and what we actually experience in our lives. Now, once we realize that and we claim it, okay, God, I admit that, and if we skip those processes, we have to go back and surrender them to him again and admit our immaturity and learn and grow in that. Lord, I realize that I'm growing and learning. We have to recognize that this maturity process will require work. It will require discipline. It will require our effort. It will require intentionality, and it will require the help of other people around us. Listen to what Paul said to the church at Philippi in chapter 2, beginning in verse 12. He said, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. All right. What's the scripture saying to us? Saying God has worked. God delivered us out of slavery. God made us anew. God has given us a new identity. God has forgiven us. God has placed his spirit within us. God has worked. Now we need to work it out, right? Now God has worked in us. So now we can begin to work out what God is doing in us. Now it's very important to be clear here. We are not working it out and becoming mature so that we will become the children of God. We're already the children of God. We're becoming mature because we are already his children, because we are already what he says that we are. But that maturing process is going to require work and effort. Saying that we are born again, saying that it's okay to be immature, does not give us permission to stay stuck, to keep living the same old life, to keep living out of the same old lies, out of minds that are not transformed. God invites us to participate in the transformation and the maturity that he wants to bring to our lives. So how are you daily, intentionally nourishing your mind? Not just going to drift into this. How are you nourishing your mind? You know, if some of y'all grew up when I grew up, you might recognize, how could you just leave me standing alone in a world that's so cold? So cold. Maybe I'm just like my father, too bold. Maybe I'm just like my mother. She's never satisfied, right? Why do we scream at each other? This is what it sounds like when doves cry. Right. So, somebody recognizes that song, don't you? Right. All right. Yeah. All right. Thank you. All right. If you don't, it's from a guy named Prince a long time ago. All right. And we shouldn't normally quote Prince in worship. But here's the deal. When I was growing up, what was I feeding and nourishing my mind with? Yeah. I mean, it was the music that I was listening to that's still bopping around in there. I don't have to look that up. I didn't have to memorize that like I did the rest of, you know, because I'm looking over and knowing what I want to say. That song just bops around in my mind. And there's a whole bunch of things bopping around in my mind. And there's a whole bunch of things bopping around in your mind that you fed and you nourished your brain with. And so what are we feeding and nourishing into our brains that is life and truth and godliness? That is reshaping and reforming our minds when we bring all this stuff into the Christian life. What are we bringing in through our social media, through what we're watching, through what we're listening to, through just the world that we live in, that is just constantly giving us a barrage of messages that are transforming our minds in the wrong direction? And so if God is calling us to work it out, what are we doing to nourish our minds on truth? How are you bringing your struggles into the light? How are you living in a transparent way before some other people so that you are known, cared for, mentored, corrected, picked up when you fall? You know what? If infants are going to develop healthily, they need to be known by some people, right? If a child hides their dirty diaper, it's a bad thing. They get a rash, right? You know, somebody needs to know the diaper is dirty, right? And if the child hides a dirty diaper, you know, bad stuff happens out of it. Somebody got to know because somebody has to take care of them. It works in my mind, the illustration does, all right? Some of y'all got a rash because you're hiding. You're off in the corner hoping nobody smells you. And because you're hiding, you're giving yourself over to the environment in which Satan thrives. Because when we bring ourselves into openness and transparency, what we open ourselves up to is grace and truth. You know, I've talked to many people and we talk about, you know, some of you guys bring your Bible, some of you don't. And it doesn't apply to you guys in here, but some people I've talked to in other places said, hey, the reason I don't like to bring my Bible to Bible study or to church is because honestly, when you call out a book of the Bible, I don't know where it is. And I don't want to be embarrassed to have my Bible and not know where to turn if you call out. So I'm just going to hide so that nobody ever knows that I don't know where anything is in the Bible. So we hide from one another. And the person you're hiding from, they don't know where anything is either. But they think you do. So they're hiding from you and you're hiding from them. And we're never bringing ourselves to the place where we're just open and transparent. And we're just like, I don't know. And we're never allowing people to see us when we fall and when we struggle. So there's people there to pick us up and mentor us. But if we take seriously our born again status, we have to take seriously the fact I need to be known. I need a family. I need people who see me. I need to live in an open and honest way with others. Where are you being faithful to God in the little things? Because if your child won't brush their teeth, you probably shouldn't toss them the car keys. And if we're going to grow and mature, and so much to saying, man, I want to do great things for God. I want to do great things for God. I want to do great things for God. God's going, then, okay, then why don't you just start? Why don't you just start with the little thing I've asked you to do? whatever that little thing is. And honestly, I say that, but we don't know what the little things and the big things are. Only God knows that. But God invites us to be faithful in the little things, and then we grow and we trust Him. And one of the things that we learn as we begin to follow Him is we learn that we have to trust Him. If we're going to grow and mature, we have to trust Him and become obedient to Him before it feels good and before it feels natural. Because for most of us, we want to feel good and we want it to feel natural before we do it. But in the Christian life where we are growing and maturing in Christ, faith comes first. Obedience comes first. And we take a step and we trust Him before we feel it, before it feels natural, before it feels good. We take a step and we trust Him. And the way that we grow and the mature is that we stretch ourselves and say, God, I don't get it. I don't understand it, but I trust You. And we take that little step of faith. And oftentimes, if we will step and trust Him, there comes a moment when it feels good and it feels naturally. But honestly, there are some things where we're faithful to God where it's never going to feel natural and it's never going to feel good. But it doesn't have to feel natural or good for us to be obedient, because in that, we learn maturity. God has worked in us. But it is God's desire, and it's God's process by His empowerment and by the presence of the Holy Spirit, that what God has worked in us, what God has done, gets worked out with us as we participate with Him. Now, if somebody were to say, I've discovered that people often hear things different than what I say. I think it's possible that somebody will say about this, I'm so glad Jeff said that, because now I can be Peter Pan. I'll never grow up. I'll remain a boy all my life. Jeff said it's okay for me to remain immature. That's not what Jeff is saying. Jeff's saying we all start there. Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning verse 14. Chapter 4 of Ephesians is all about growing into maturity within the body of Christ. And he says at the end of this passage, he says, then when we've grown to maturity, he says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. What is true about infants? They're tossed back and forth by the waves, all right? It's not wrong to be an infant. And most of us are infant in some area of our life. It's not wrong, but here's what's true. Infants get tossed back and forth in every area of their life. Have you ever been with one group of people and you are one person, and you were with another group of people and you were somebody else? It's just immaturity. So is all that is. You know, you're being tossed back and forth by wherever you are. Your mood's going up or down. On days when everything's great, you love God, you're praising Him. On days when things are going bad, you wonder if God loves you at all and don't think that God cares about you. You're tossed back and forth all the time. What that is immaturity. He says that infants are vulnerable to schemes and lies. They fall prey easily to deception. It's not wrong to be an infant. In fact, we all have to claim that born-again status, but it's dangerous to stay there. He says in the very next verse, he says, instead of perpetually staying an infant, instead speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. Instead, he says, the body will grow to match the head, and the head is Christ. And instead, the body's going to grow to match the head, so that what is presented to the world is a picture of Christ. Some of y'all are wondering what the Be the Moon. Many of the singers have the Be the Moon shirt on, and on the back it says something about reflecting something or another. It's really good. Read the back of their t-shirt. It's about, what does it say? Somebody stand up and hear and demonstrate. All right, let me read the back of it, because Dana designed this. It's to Be the Moon, a reflection of you in all that I do, from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Yeah, that's what the Be the Moon, to be the reflection of the beauty and the light of Christ. It's what we're called to be in that. Have y'all ever noticed, if you plant a garden, when plants are small, it's hard to tell what it is? You know, you got all this stuff growing up. Susan plants a little garden. It's like, is that a weed or is that something we're trying to grow? When they're small, you can't tell. But when they become mature, then it's easy. You know a corn plant from a bell pepper plant from a peach tree. when they grow mature, right? That's what Jesus was addressing when he was talking about those false prophets. Here's people who are grown, mature, set in their ways, who thought they understood all. He said, man, you can now tell what they are. And as we grow and mature in Christ, what we are becomes clear to the world. We become a reflection of Christ. And why that's so critical is because that's the way God is making his appeal to the world, through us. That's what Scripture says. God's making his appeal to the world through us. Not us simply handing out Bibles, not us simply telling people a message that God loves them, but through us becoming a reflection, a part of the body that reflects the head. And this is our very calling in life. Being born again, receiving a new identity, is not the same thing as maturity. So let's stop believing every time that we fall, every time that we fail, every time that we mess up or backslide, let's stop believing that that somehow means we're not who it is that God says that we are. We are who he says that we are. When we repent and believe and put our faith and trust in him, man, we are who he says he says we are. But let's not use our infancy as an excuse to keep from growing in maturity either. Let's work out what God has worked in us. Not just for our own joy and our own personal happiness, but because God has put you around people. Every single one of us are around people who need to know him, who are living in darkness and death and dysfunction, and need to see the light, the life of Christ alive in you. God is working through you to reach some other people. And it's as we become mature that we truly reflect who he is to the world. Let's work out what he's working in us. Let's claim where we're infants. You can't bypass that part. And if you're here this morning, I just bypassed that whole thing of being an infant. Well, let's surrender that to him, and God will use it in beautiful ways. Let's admit that, surrender that, whatever it is. Then let's nourish the mind so that we trust who he says that we are. Let's find some people where we can be open and transparent. That's not easy. It's hard. You think people just have those relationships? I don't think so. I think you wrestle those kinds of relationships to the ground. Let's find some people that we trust that we can be open and transparent in front of. Let's begin to be obedient in the little things, and let's trust God before it feels right, before it feels natural, before it feels good. Let's simply trust him and work out the thing that God has worked in us. Trust him. And if you will trust him, God will work out in you a beautiful picture of Christ to the world. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your great grace. And Lord, I thank you that we are born again in an instant. In the moment that we repent and we place our trust and love and loyalty in you, Lord, in that moment, our future has changed. Lord, our identity has changed. Our relationship with you and with others has changed. We've become a part of family. Lord, instantly in that moment, there is great change and transformation. Lord, but we know, we see in your word over and over again that what it means to be born again is to begin again. And Lord, some of us wanted to bypass that process. And we just brought into this new life those old ways of thinking, those old habits. And Lord, you're calling some of us today to surrender some of those things to you. Say, God, I admit I don't know. I feel passionately, but I don't know. So we surrender that to you. Lord, I pray that we would be so convinced that you have worked in us, that you have given us everything that we need for life and godliness, that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is alive in us, that we would be so convinced of that, that you worked in us, that we would now work it out, empowered by you, so that the body matches the head. Lord, help us to be a community that resembles that kingdom that is to come. We trust you, we love you, we thank you for the privilege of making you known to the world. In Christ's name, amen.